22 minutes to the top of the hour. And as I mentioned, talking gadgets today, the new and the old. We'll get to the old shortly, but the Consumers Electronics Show officially kicks off in Las Vegas tomorrow. A bit of a preview today, and we'll have a little bit of a sneak peek at the gadgets as well. More than 20,000 products will be on display. Exciting stuff. Tech writer and commentator, Steele Garion. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jamie.
Are you getting a little excited with all these new toys?
I'm getting a little scared by all these new toys. I'm not so much the gadget freak because I'm a bit cynical about most of it. And a lot of the gadgets that are announced at CES each year will stiff. You know, they'll be just things that they're announced with much fanfare. And then all of the distributors, all of the retailers, the big department stores and so on, their buyers are at this show as well, deciding, you know, what they will stock during the year, and they'll place orders and all of that, or at least start the negotiations. The actual signature on the dotted line won't be done at the show itself. But, you know, they're all trying to work out what the next big thing will be. And look, some of these. Do we need a GPS dog tracker that knows if your pet is too hot or cold?
Of course we do.
Do we need a combination Bluetooth sound system that will pipe sound from your mobile phone that is a combination beer cooler? We do need that.
Yeah,
we?
I was going to say that's probably essential.
Great for picnics.
Yeah, there you go. So it's a bit of a sales fest, this is. But how much of a...
Absolutely.
I suppose, how much of a big deal is it in terms of, you know, this community?
This is the biggest one in the world each year. Last year, there were 160,000 people through the door. And 52,000 of them were actually exhibitors. So about a third of the people at the show are exhibitors from something like 3,700 different companies. So they're all there not just to show off their own things, but to see what the competition is doing. And as I say, to make the deals or to start that process of working out what they'll get. So everyone is trying to say, hey, this is what we will start to sell in 2 months, 3 months, 6 months or whatever. Sometimes there might be advance notice of things coming up. And to give you an idea of the importance of this show, this is CES in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So many products over the years have been launched at this event. A thing called the video cassette recorder in 1970.
Hey, what was that again?
Yeah. Well, here's another one. The compact disc player in 1981.
There you go.
Well, they're kind of on the way out.
Yeah.
There's things that are definitely gone, like the laser disc player, which was the big 12-inch laser disc. It was like a giant CD.
Yeah. Basically.
And hence compact disc CD. That was the smaller version. The DAT tape, the digital audio technology tape, that kind of got used professionally in places like radio stations, but anywhere else, no, it didn't catch on.
Yeah.
But so on, the Microsoft Xbox gaming console in 2001, and various things like 3D televisions in 2009 and so on. So it is seen as the show where you make a big splash. As you said, it's 20,000 products will be launched in the next few days.
It's huge, isn't it? But I liked that you mentioned as well that it's a time where you go there to kind of show off what you've been doing, what you've got to offer. Mm. But you also have an eye on the competition. Because of that, is there an element of secrecy at shows like this as well? Maybe a few products that you have to, you know, knock a certain amount of times on the door at the back of the room to have a look at?
Look, I don't know whether that happens at CES, but it certainly happens at other technology trade shows around. I do most of my stuff up at the kind of enterprise and big business and security end of the market. And yeah, there's all that kind of, if you would like a confidential briefing of our products coming up later in the year, you know what we're thinking about putting on the market at Christmas time? Yeah. Yeah, you know, you have to show a genuine interest. And it's, you're the chief buyer of consumer electronics for this major department store chain? Yes, do come and have a
come
chat.
Come this way, sir, yeah.
But sign this bit of paper first, the non-disclosure agreement.
So there's a lot on offer. I know you took the mickey out of a couple of things there. We probably aren't going to take the world by storm, but no. Has there been a look at an unveiling, I suppose, a sneak peek at a few things that might become the next... Who knows? Cassette recorder?
Well, the big thing, and it's not a secret, the big thing is what's called 4K TV or ultra high definition television. So it's more pixels on the screen, more than twice the count, both vertically and horizontally. So that makes it about five times higher resolution than your existing high definition television. all of the big manufacturers are flogging their new model sets. LG is now saying, look, our entire range of TV is now 4K resolution. We won't sell anything less than that. And others are doing the same. And I won't go through all of the manufacturers, but they are selling, these are the televisions, these are the camcorders capable of recording in that resolution. So there will be a push during 2015 for people to start upgrading. Now, obviously, it's like it was with HDTV, that the early ones, the bleeding edge ones, had a bleeding edge price attached to them, which will fall over the coming years. But there will be that sense of this is the new standard to which we are gradually moving. And what will be interesting about that, I think, is that that will be part of the move of video distribution moving away from broadcast television to the internet, simply because broadcast TV is not going to be upgraded to 4K resolution, because you have to have this vast international political process to settle on a standard and upgrade transmitters and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a phenomenally expensive thing to do. Whereas, given that internet capacity is being built up anyway, that's where you will get your 4K video streams, whether that's in a streaming video service. And, of course, Netflix is the big one that everyone always talks about, though there are competitors. And they are already making portions of their catalogue available in 4K today.
Right.
So, you know, it's all there. Once you've got the television that can show it, once you've got an internet connection that is fast enough, once the streaming service is operating in your country and providing the catalogue, and again, it's all legal arrangements. It's all about getting the copyright clearances and paying the licence fees for the content and all that. But that's one of the big moves that's happening. And it is interesting to see, as you said, today is the press day at CES Las Vegas. So I know that there were like 2,000 internationally journalists alone, let alone how many are there from the United States. I think it's in the order of 8 or 10,000 journalists.
Wow.
At the event. So I know quite a few from Australia are there, and New Zealand and so on. And they're the journalists that's, you know, really focused down on this consumer stuff. So that's one of the big ones. The other interesting one for me is what they're calling the connected home or the smart house.
Right.
And this is, again, it's all part of this Internet of Things thing. but anything that can have smarts built into it will in the next few years. And so we're talking home automation systems, so that your house understands where you are in the house and what your activity patterns are. So therefore, lighting is automatically adjusted for different times of day. It starts the air conditioning just before you get home of an evening.
So what it starts to it starts to understand my patterns a little bit. I know Jamie gets home at this time.
That's
so
right.
5 minutes before, let's just click on the aircon.
Yeah, click on the aircon, get some lights on the driveway so you can drive up okay. And it knows you're on the way because you've got a smartphone in your pocket which has GPS, which reports back your position. It's the buzzword for this is called geofencing.
Okay.
Where you create a geographic virtual fence around things, and your systems know that when you get to a certain location, you do certain things. Now, we already have this built in to the voice-operated assistants on our phones. Apple's is called Siri, Microsoft's is called Cortana, and Google's is called Google Now, or just the Google thing. You just tell your phone, okay, Google, when I get home, remind me to start cooking. And it knows where home is.
Because
it knows when you get there.
Sometimes you forget you're hungry still.
Yeah. Well, possibly, but there might be.
Yes, sorry.
True. No, you're quite right. That's an appropriately cynical.
There is a point with these things, though, and there's no doubting the practicality of it. And as you mentioned, anything in our house that can be smart will be. And it's practical that you know, lights get turned on just before I get home, or that air conditioning starts. But as you mentioned, it can start to just run away slightly to the ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely. And the one I find. And I always thought this was silly. It's the smart light bulbs.
Right.
And, you know, that's where every individual light fitting, every individual bulb is a smart device, and you know, they can change its brightness and its color balance and things like that. So at one level, I thought, oh, this is that corny, you know, 1970s soft porn film where you arrive home and click your fingers and the music comes on and the lights dim and the bed rolls out.
Yeah,
and, you know, as was done in those movies at
like
the
Austin
time.
Powers and things
That's
like that.
That's what
yeah.
I was thinking of. Yeah, we can satirize that, but at the same time, it's been estimated that this sort of stuff could knock big dollars off your electricity bill.
Right, so there's a practical side yeah. to it as well. Okay, that's interesting. So some of the newer things that we'll be seeing at this at the CES kicking off in Las Vegas tomorrow, a sneak peek today. Interesting timing, I think, still as well, because there was a story out of the UK this week, which is, well, looking at the things we might not have around anymore, which is often the case with technology, the things that in 2015 we just won't be using. I enjoyed this.
Yes, this is from The Independent.
Yeah.
The journalist is Rodri Marsden, and I thought they've done a great job on this, because they've listed six items which they think, you know, 2015 will be the final death knell of them. And I agree with one of them already, the home landline telephone.
Now, when was the last time you called someone on a landline? And I use it at work, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't have one. I haven't had one in years.
Yep.
I've got a phone in my pocket. It comes with me.
I knew the landline was gone when my mum rang me and she said, Jamie, you can't get me on the home phone anymore because I don't have one.
Exactly.
And I thought, wow, if Rose is there, then the rest of the world's been there for a while.
Exactly. And, you know, the figures are coming out now that, where was this? In London, one in three Londoners don't know their home telephone number.
Wow.
And 40% of them don't answer it when it rings. And half of them who have a landline only have one because they're forced to as part of a broadband internet package.
Okay.
And some ISPs in Australia, of course, offer what is called naked broadband. That is, you have the copper wire, you have your DSL broadband on it, but you don't have a local telephone service. Now, that means that the broadband package costs a tiny bit more because somewhere in there, you've got to pay for the maintenance of that copper wire.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the order of $20 a month that Telstra, that owns the copper network, will charge anyone using the copper. And that's traditionally been a proportion of your telephone bill.
Right.
And now it's moving over to become a proportion of your internet bill. And so, you know, when you've got those kind of figures, that's where you've got the changeover. That's where the next time someone moves house, I think, oh, Why will I get a landline?
Yeah.
And so we're really hitting that point. I agree.
Okay, so we can cross the landline off.
Yeah, I think that one's easily gone.
One of the others that was a staple for a long time, and I was surprised to see it on the list, the remote control still.
Yes, the changing channel without getting from the couch. Three ways I think this is going to go. One is that your smartphone, again, becomes a universal controller. If you have a smart TV, the control is just another app on your phone.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's always with you. Yeah,
it's always with you, again. The other one is we've got, the other two, are voice recognition and gesture recognition.
Hey.
So gesture recognition, smart TVs generally have a camera in them. Do not put them in the bedroom. They're easy to hack at this stage. I've seen that done by hackers on stage. Do not. Wait a bit till they've got the security sorted out before you start putting a smart TV in the bedroom.
Right.
Or tape over the camera.
Okay.
I mean it. But those cameras can also have gesture recognition software, like some of the gaming.
So I could point to my smart TV with a camera and pretend and gesture like I'm holding a remote control, but not actually have a remote control.
I just wave. Just a big swipe gesture with your wave.
Okay.
Or voice, television.
Or voice.
Yep.
Okay.
ABC1, please.
Yeah, ding.
Television, ding, and off it goes.
Okay, so the remote control, don't need that this year. The other one, and again, something that isn't actually that old when you think about it, the standalone GPS.
Yep, the old satellite navigation. Every cabbie has it on the dashboard of the cab. We've all got it in our pockets now on the smartphone. Not all of us, but the vast majority of Australians now have a GPS-enabled smartphone in their pocket. The selling point for the standalone systems was always that they had high-quality mapping and could give you the turn-by-turn directions, the old, in 100 metres, turn left, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now that the phone, of course, has a decent internet connection in it, well, that can just connect to an online service to do that. And indeed, TomTom, that was one of the makers of, or is one of the makers of standalone sat-nav, they are now looking more to making their money by selling that technology in to be part of Apple's phone, so that your Apple phone will connect to TomTom. Garmin, you know, obviously going to connect to someone else, and all of the other makers will do this. So it won't be that the navigation map makers will sell their technology to you in their device. It's they'll sell it through the internet, through a device that you already have.
Hey, question without notice still. The map in our phone, so when you use our phone as a GPS, does it use much data?
I'd sit it in the middle. As a question without notice, I'd put it in the middle.
So it's not heavy use. It's not a reason that you might say, I would hang on to my old sat-nav because I don't want to chew up the data on my plan on the occasional time I use my phone.
No, I mean, all of the things here, the real big one is anything relating to video is the data hog.
Okay.
Then kind of it gets down to audio. But look, it does add up. And, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. But that said, if you're mostly navigating around the inner part of Perth or something like that, then your phone will eventually have on it all of those little map tiles for the inner part of Perth, and it won't have to keep downloading them.
Right.
There are ways and means of saying, you know, keep all of this section of the city on my phone and so on. But no, it's actually pretty efficient because they're flat colours, they're not moving images and so on. It's only when you start getting onto the kind of video, or let's get onto the virtual reality Google Street View kind of imagery that adds up. I tend to worry more about running out of electricity at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly right.
To be honest.
Hey, just a few minutes left, but still three of these features and gadgets that we might not be seeing in 2015. Now, let's run through a few of them. This is obvious still, phone boxes.
Phone boxes, yes. The idea that you go to a particular spot to use the telephone, that's all gone. Phone boxes are gone.
That's funny. DVD and Blu-ray as well.
Yeah, this comes back to the point I was making, that this 4K television thing, all right, there is now a standard to put 4K resolution video on a Blu-ray disc, but, you know, all we're talking about there is if you want a movie at that resolution, it's a few gigabytes of data. Why would you send a plastic disc through a courier or the mail when you have that kind of bandwidth available on the internet? Eventually, the idea of you having a physical thing that stores each individual movie or whatever will go. And even if you don't have that kind of internet bandwidth to keep watching all them, maybe you'll just take your phone into the store and there'll be a kiosk in the store and go, okay, load that onto my phone and I'll take it home and then transfer it to my big shiny TV system in the living room when I get home. But really the internet will replace all of these physical distribution mechanisms.
And the final one, and again, one that's being replaced because of that thing that we carry around in our pocket and take everywhere, the good old alarm clock still.
Absolutely. My phone is with me. It knows, you know, I've programmed it to set the alarms and wake me up at appropriate times each day or after a nap or whatever. I don't use a physical alarm clock. It's stuck there. What if I'm staying at a hotel or traveling or whatever? I have to reprogram the alarm clock. No, my phone makes that. My phone makes my choice of noise or my choice of music at my time. And I think there's a certain retro charm to an alarm clock, a clock radio. And maybe they'll become a bit of a collector's item down the track.
Maybe more art than actual function, you know, functional piece that we need.
True.
Yeah. Still, Gary, an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. And has been over the last few weeks as well. That ends our little kind of stint over summer. But thanks for being available and for, you know, enlightening us a little bit as well.
My pleasure, Jamie. It's been fun.